And I just sense that the Lord wants to impart boldness this morning. Because there is a dying world out there that needs to hear about our great King. This world is hopeless. It has nothing to offer but brokenness, shame, bitterness, and rejection. And we, as the body of Christ, as the local church, see, Jesus is the hope of the world, but the local church is the vehicle that brings out and expresses that message. And I'm just sensing something different here at this service, and I just sense that the Lord wants to impart boldness. And let me tell you, you may be here because maybe somebody dragged you here today. Maybe somebody promised you lunch. But let me tell you that there's no coincidences in the Lord. There may be some prodigals here today that you've been running, but the Lord is saying, come home. Come home. If you don't know Jesus and you're far away from God, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. And I think it's really important for us to open up our hearts to this great King who has been pursuing you all of your life. He pursued me all of my life. And I know this world doesn't have anything to offer because I tasted the world. When I was a young kid, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, hence the accent. And I was involved in gangs and drugs and so many different things to try to satisfy a need in my soul that could not be quenched. There was a need in my heart for community. There was a need in my heart for intimacy, for love. See, I grew up with roots of rejection. And I was looking for love in all the wrong places. So I got involved in gangs. I got involved in drugs. I got involved in all type of sin. And Jesus never gave up on me. He never stopped pursuing me. I don't know, do you know the car brand Lexus, right? They've changed their slogan, but their slogan used to be the relentless pursuit of perfection. How many of you remember that? And I'm like, man, but Jesus' slogan is the relentless pursuit of imperfection. And that's you and me. There's this perfect King who gives up his life for you and me, just so that you and I can have life and life in abundance. You know, the Lord has a purpose for your life, but guess what? There's also an enemy of our soul. And John 10:10 says that he came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, but I've come. I have come to give you life in the full, a life of abundance, right? This is not about existing. This is about living for purpose. And there's some of you here that are struggling. There's some of you that are battling depression and anxiety. And today, the Lord wants to give you hope. Today, the Lord wants to give you a joy and a peace that goes beyond our understanding. And you know, I was such a broken kid and just doing all the wrong things and all the wrong places. I had friends that went to jail for life. I had friends that died in gang violence. I had a friend that went to write graffiti in the wrong neighborhood, was shot in the head, killed instantly. I had another friend who was writing graffiti in the subways, was killed by a train. And when I look back on my life, I said, Lord, that could have been me. But because of your grace, this broken and lost kid is now a minister of the gospel. Because that's what grace does. And till my dying breath, I will tell the story of God in my life. With my dying breath, I will testify to his greatness. The psalmist says that his faithfulness reaches the heavens. He didn't have enough language. He didn't have enough eloquence to describe the faithfulness of God. And there's some of us in here today that God has been more than faithful. And he's been pursuing you. And you know he's been pursuing you. But today is the day of salvation. How many of you can say amen? Listen, I'm a little bit of a charismatic, so I love engagement from the crowd, so I would love to hear amen. Amen. Preach it. Amen. I would love to hear, man, that preacher's good looking. All right, maybe not that one. Maybe not that one. Just keep in mind that the camera's at 10 pounds. So, amen. Amen. Thank you, Phil, my brother. But I'm just so glad to be here. I love to see what the Lord is doing in this community. I shared a word with Phil, and Phil, I'm going to share with the rest of the congregation. The Lord, as I was praying for Phil this morning, the Lord showed me it's just the tip of the iceberg. There is more to come. There is more community to be found here. And I love the vision that the Lord has given Pastor Phil that this is a home. You know, at our church in Northlands, in Norcross, our theme for the next 25 years as our new lead pastor, Pastor Tyler, has taken over is healthy homes. That this should be not just a place of gathering, but a place where we find community and it feels like home. You know why? Because in homes, there's a healthy father and a healthy mother. Especially when I'm seeing with the young people, these young people, some of them need spiritual mothers and fathers. And you are to be that for that community and for those young people. Because God doesn't want to use them in the future only. He wants to use them now. So I love to hear those testimonies. The young lady, Kayla, I believe her name is, and she just accepted Jesus into her heart. And we need a strong community. Amen. Amen? Amen? We need people to go out into the streets, into the gas stations, and into Publix. And we need you to testify. We need you to share this gospel of grace, unmerited favor. How many of you can say amen? Amen. Amen. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm ready for the word? Now turn to the other neighbor that you may not like as much and tell them, even if it hurts. How many of you know that sometimes the word can hurt a little bit? Well, I'm not here to hurt you. Like I said, I'm here to impart boldness because there is this king named Jesus that we need to tell people about. There are people that are battling depression. There's people with anxiety. Do you know that we are the most medicated nation in the world? And you and I have the solution. And his name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Creator. And he is coming again. And we need to be bold. We need to be bold with this message of the gospel because it is the only message that can save the soul of a lost nation, of a lost community. It's not the president. It's not the governor. It's not the donkey or the elephant. It is the lamb. And today I'm here to proclaim the gospel with boldness. Because I will not be quiet, and I love what Romans 1:16 says. How many of you know this scripture? Paul, this man that was the number one enemy of the church, becomes now the number one preacher for the church. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Now, the word power here in the original Greek is the word dunamis, which is the word that we get dynamite from. Now, what does dynamite do? It explodes. It obliterates. It pulverizes. So the gospel, it is a supernatural power that transformed this man from a sinner into a saint. It is the power of God that transforms families, transforms communities, and uses churches like Vertical Church to go out into the streets. I call it church in the wild. Because I think we're all good in here, right? In the four walls. We know the language. Right. How you doing, brother? I'm blessed. Right. How you doing, my sister? Oh, favor and grace. Right. But what happens when somebody cuts you off in traffic? What happens when somebody is rude to you at Publix? What happens when there's a coworker that is just making your life miserable? What story is your life telling? Is there evidence in your life that Jesus is alive? And that is the question for us today. Let me tell you something. I want to encourage you this morning, but I also want to make you a little uncomfortable. Because I think we've become too comfortable in the four walls. Some people come to church on Sundays, they praise God, they worship, they lift up their hands, but live Monday through Saturday as if He doesn't exist. We need a bold church. We need a praying church to go out there and preach this gospel. How many of you can say amen? For the next couple of hours, no, I'm joking. I saw some people got nervous. Don't worry, the NFL starts next weekend. Yeah. So for the next few moments, church, I would love to talk to you about the importance of sharing our testimony. The Lord has called us to be living parables. Living parables. What is a parable? A parable, when Jesus came and He taught, Jesus was a master communicator, the best teacher this world has ever seen. And there was something different about the way Jesus taught. There was an anointing. There was an authority. And let me tell you something. The words that Jesus spoke, every word that Jesus spoke had purpose, it had a strategy, and it was eternal. Hallelujah. So we see that when Jesus taught, He taught with power and authority. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you know somebody by reputation? Raise your hand. Participate with me. And how many of us have ever experienced that there was a reputation that we were aware of, but when we met that person, our perspective changed? Like you thought something of somebody, but yet when you meet them, you're like, you know what? They are not that bad. Or they're worse than I thought, right? It goes both ways. I'm here to tell you that there's a difference between reputation and testimony. There's a difference. You may be here today and you know of Jesus, but He wants you to know Him personally. You know, when Jesus is hanging out with His disciples, it came a moment where Jesus says to His disciples, there's a lot of chatter out there about me. There's a lot of people talking about me out there. I know they're saying some things, but what do you say? Who do you say I am? And Peter, right? Peter was bold. Peter was, you know, he could have been obnoxious a little bit. Right? He spoke sometimes in the wrong time or in the wrong way. And Peter steps up boldly and he says, Lord, I know who You are. You are the promised Messiah. You are the Son of God. Hallelujah. And in this moment, Peter gets this revelation from heaven and declares to Jesus, You are the promised Messiah. And Jesus stands back and He says, oh, Peter, you don't know what you just said. But on this truth, I will establish My church. I will establish My ecclesia. That is the first time that we ever see the word church in the scriptures. And Jesus says, on this truth bomb, I'm going to build My church. So there's a difference between reputation and testimony. Let me tell you the difference. Reputation is what people think of you. Testimony is what God knows about you. There's a difference. So what is out there? Is your reputation out there or is your testimony out there? See, there was something about the way Jesus taught. There was something about the way Jesus preached. And theologians believe in the four Gospels, of all the words that were recorded of Jesus, about 35% of the words that were recorded were parables. Jesus taught in parables. What is a parable? A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. with heavenly principles. But you and I are called to be what? Living, breathing parables. Your life is telling a story. And the question for us today is, what story is my life telling? Is there evidence of power? Is there fruit of the Spirit? Is there love? Is there mercy? Is there forgiveness? Or is there judgment? We can't be religious, y'all. We can't be legalistic. This is the gospel of grace, not the gospel of rules. How many of you can say amen? When we study the life of Jesus, the way he taught, Matthew 7:29 says, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Think about the state of Israel when Jesus came. The teachers of the law were the oppressors. They were trying to keep people. You know, they added 613 rules to the Ten Commandments. They weren't there to serve the people. They were there to control the people with their fine linen. But inside, they were dead and religious and legalistic. You know, when I moved from New York City, I moved in 2006 in New York, from New York City to Suwanee, Georgia. I still live in Suwanee, Georgia. It's like an hour and a half from here. And let me tell you something. There was this culture shock, right? Because in New York, everybody's rude. Right. There's only two speeds in New York, fast or get out of the way. So I come down in 2006, and people are greeting me in my subdivision, in my neighborhood. Oh, hello. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? We don't say hello. But what I did realize is that there is this cultural Christianity. That's not real Christianity. Oh, you know, we grew up going to church. So those are the people that know Jesus by reputation rather than by testimony. They know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. There's a difference. Those that know of Jesus, there's no evidence of power in their lives, but those who know Jesus. How many of you know that when Jesus comes, everything has to change? My old lifestyle has to go. My addictions have to go. My preconceived notions have to go. My prejudices have to go. My racism has to go. My political idolatry has to go. Because I am now under a new kingdom. And it is the kingdom of God. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, love your enemies. Love people who vote differently than you. Love people who have different ideologies and different lifestyles. But we are to preach the truth with love and grace. How many can say amen? Amen. Well, this is the center and the heart of this message today. Living parables are lives that tell a personal story that points them to Jesus. Living parables. Lives that tell a personal story that points them to Jesus. Does your life and mine point them to this eternal King? Or does your life and mine show something different? What is the fruit in your life that Jesus is alive? How many can say amen? You still with me? Are you mad at me? Okay, even if you are, I'm leaving anyway. What story is our life telling? Does your life and mine have evidence that Jesus is alive? Look what Mark 16, verses 15 through 18. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. There are signs that accompany those who believe. Amen. If you look at Acts chapter 2, the first century church, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, it says that they were a community. They met in each other's homes. They prayed together. They broke bread together. They supplied each other's needs. They loved one another. And there was evidence in that community. What was the evidence? Signs and wonders. I don't know about you, but I want to see miracles. I want to see drug addicts transformed and become the next leaders. I want to see people living in different lifestyles to come and know their true identity. I'm here to impart boldness on Vertical Church because it's time for us to get out there, outside of the four walls, and preach this message of power. Dunamis, dynamite. This is the power of God. And then these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. That's what we believe. That's what the word says. Now, here's the good news. Not only does he command us to go, but he also gives us the power to go. He didn't just say, go ahead, go do it on your own. No, he gives us the power to go. We are sent by God, but also empowered by God to go. Look what John 20, 21 says. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Amen. That word is for us today, church. He said it to the disciples then, and he says it to us today. August 31st, 2025. Man, where did August go, by the way? Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Here's the good news, church. They were not sent empty-handed. And you and I are not empty-handed. I love Romans 8, 11. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, for the same Spirit that rose Jesus, and the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead is now living inside of us and giving us life. Man, that's revival verse right there. That is revival talk. The Spirit of God dwells inside of us 24/7. Why are we living with anxiety? Not minimizing it. Why are we living with depression? Why are we still stuck in the past? If we have the Spirit of God inside of us, is there evidence that Jesus is alive? We have to be living parables in our community. Look what Matthew 28, 18 and 20. How many of you ever heard of the Great Commission? Right? If you're familiar with the Bible, if you've been going to church for a while, you've heard the Great Commission. It is a mandate from Jesus for us to go out and preach the gospel. But some of us live with it as if it was the great suggestion. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, now look at the language here. Look what Jesus does. It says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This is Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He is now spending some time with his disciples. The Bible says that he spent 40 days and 40 nights with them. And Paul says there were 500 witnesses that saw him. And he says, all authority has been in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then verse 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. You know what this is? This is a delegation of power and authority. And that same power that was delegated to the disciples is delegated to us through the Spirit of God. So there's a purpose for your life. You don't need a microphone to preach the gospel. You don't need to be an elder or a deacon or a leader. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Great Commission is for you. Tell the story. Have lunch with your coworker and tell them how Jesus saved you. Hang out with your family member that's lost and tell them your story of how God came through for you and how he's changed your life. Verse 19 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Not only are we called, but we are empowered to preach the gospel. And some of them may say, well, you know, I'm not a pastor. Okay, that's fine. You don't have to be a pastor to share your story. If you've been saved, you have a testimony. You know, at Northlands, we have what we call a testimony wall. And it's a magnetic wall. And people fill out cards and share that testimony and put it up on the wall. And you know what we instruct people to do? Go read some of those testimonies. Be encouraged. If there's a specific testimony that speaks to a seasonal reality, take it home with you and put it on your fridge and pray until there's a breakthrough. We must testify. Testimony really means, Lord, do it again. Do it again. And what he's done in your life needs to be heard. Paul asks this question. Listen to this. Romans 10, verse 13 to 15. Look what Paul says. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? You know, this is as I was preparing this, man, I was really convicted. I'm a pastor, and I preach every Sunday. But am I also doing it away from the pulpit? Am I doing it with my neighbor? As I'm putting the garbage dumpster down on the curb and I see my neighbor, do I just hello or do I run away or do I say, hey, can I how you doing? How can I pray for you? What's going on with you? The other day my wife and I went out to eat, because I love to eat. And we went to a restaurant and there's this server there that we've had several times. Just a sweet young lady. And that day, I was like, man, she doesn't look like herself. She looked like, you know, a little sickly. And as she kept coming over, I told my wife, I said, I'm gonna ask if we can pray for her. So she came over and I said, hey, I don't mean to you know, make you feel bad or anything or make you uncomfortable, but I said, you're usually like a happy-going person and you're pleasant. Not that you're not. I said, but are you feeling okay? And then she's like, no, I've actually been battling migraines for 5 days. And she goes, and we're short-staffed. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, hey, my wife and I are pastors. Can we pray for you? And she's like, please. So my wife grabbed her by the hand, and we started praying. I don't care who's there. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And we started praying. Amen. Yeah. Man, that's a good clap. That's a strong clap. So we prayed for her. And then, you know, she went about her business serving the other tables. And I just kept observing her. And it's like life began to come back. Like she started smiling. And all of a sudden she had more energy. And then she came over and I said, hey, how are you feeling? She's like, the migraine is gone. I didn't do it. I just saw an opportunity to be a living parable. What story is my life telling? And it continues. It says, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Your story, your testimony is powerful. for we are open letters before the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, Paul, who has so much wisdom, who wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament, just received this great amount of revelation from the Holy Spirit. And look what he says, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Let me tell you something. There are people that you have no idea that are paying attention to your life. There are people around you that are analyzing your every move. There are people around you that may be judging you, and that's okay. But you and I have to be open letters. You and I have to be living and breathing parables with power. And he continues to say, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You know, Ecclesiastes says that the Lord wrote eternity in the hearts of men. So there is something that calls us to the supernatural. There is something that calls us to our Creator. And those of us that are saved and those of us that have a life of abundance, we have to go out there and tell our stories. We have to preach with boldness in time and out of time. How many of you can say amen? Matthew 9, verse 35 through 38, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Do we have compassion on the crowds, or are we annoyed by them? I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes I'm annoyed. But I'm praying that the Lord just give me a heightened sense of compassion. Because we don't know what people are going through. There may be a couple that you know that may be ready to call it quits and get a divorce. Maybe there's a coworker with suicidal thoughts. When I was 19 years old and I was just broken and full of shame and bitterness and had no direction. I lived in a building of four stories. I went up to the roof where I used to smoke weed all the time. And I remember that was my place of solace. That was my place of just getting away from everything. And one day, I stepped up to the ledge on the roof, ready to jump because I felt hopeless and I was broken. And if it wasn't for God's grace, I would not be here today. So I'm not going to get tired of preaching this gospel. And everywhere I go, I'm going to tell the story of how God rescued me. Because I didn't find him. He found me. He put me back together. He restored me. He reconciled me. He gave me purpose and placed a calling over my life that I will live out for the rest of my days. Amen. Amen. He deserves all the honor and all of the glory. You know, there's this Japanese art form. I don't know if some of you may be familiar. It's called kintsugi. Kintsugi is an interesting art form. They usually take like teacups or plates or vases that have been broken. And they put them back together. But the glue that puts them back together is gold. So you may see this teacup that looks almost as it's got mosaics, different pieces. But now it has even more worth and more value because of the gold. And that's what Jesus does with us. We may come broken, but he restores us. He reconciles us to the Father. And now there's value. We are created in the image of God. Do you know that God spoke everything into existence? And I'll end with this. Do you know God is so powerful that he spoke everything into existence? Let there be light. and it was light. Yeah. And it's not that it started to appear. No, no, instantly. Just like Jesus calmed the storms instantly. It wasn't like the storm all of a sudden started to come. No, no. At the moment Jesus said, be still, the storm stopped. Because even nature obeys him. But let me remind you of your value. Let me remind you of your worth. God spoke everything into existence except for man. He created man in his image, but he created man with his own hands. That's how special you and I are. And maybe you've been beat up for years. Maybe your whole life you've been told that you're not worth anything. Maybe your whole life, you know, people have spoken over you and have placed labels over you. But today, we destroy all those labels in Jesus' name. Because there is value, there is purpose in your life. Because there's a Savior that is relentlessly pursuing you. Hallelujah. There's a Savior that loves you. And your story needs to be heard. That's why we have to be living parables. And I end with this verse. Psalm 71, verse 15 and 16. I don't know if we have it. Okay, there it is. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long. Though I know not how to relate them all, I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds and yours alone. You know, in John chapter 12, Jesus brings Lazarus back from the dead. You remember that story? Yeah. There was a large multitude of witnesses. Now look at what they did when they witnessed this miracle. It's interesting that Mary and Martha called for Jesus and they said, Lord, the one you love is about to die. We need you back ASAP. And Jesus sends message. He says, don't worry about it. This is not going to result in death. So he stays an extra 2 days. That makes no sense. When he gets back, Martha meets him. And Martha's like, Lord, only if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus, with full of love and compassion, he weeps because he understands us. He understands our hurts. He knows our humanity. And he comes and he says, Lazarus, come out. Now, he called him by name because if he says come out, then all the dead would have come out. Lazarus, come out. Lazarus comes out. And let me tell you something. Jesus stayed an extra 2 days and let Lazarus die, knowing he was going to resurrect him, because you know what? He was going to resurrect the faith of the multitudes. Look what John 12:17 says. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. So if Jesus, like Lazarus, has raised us from the dead, if we are now spiritually alive, we have to do what this crowd did. Continue to spread the word. Continue to be living, breathing stories of the power of God. Can we stand to our feet? Pastor Phil, I would love to do an altar call if there's any prodigals. If you served the Lord at one point and maybe you're not right now, or if there's anyone here who would like to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, would you raise your hand? If you want to receive Jesus, or if you want to be reconciled, would you raise your hand? You don't have to come up here. We'll come to you. Is there anybody here? Remember, there's no shame. There's now no condemnation, the Bible says, to those who are in Christ Jesus. All right, I'm going to invite Pastor Phil to come up. Spirit of boldness, go tell your story. Because there's somebody waiting to hear that story. Somebody's waiting for hope. Hebrews 6:19 says we have this anchor of the soul. As Jesus is who anchors my soul. No matter what storm is around me, no matter what I'm going through, just remember that he never leaves us. He never forsakes us, for his name is Emmanuel, God with us. God bless you this morning.